Some of you probably didn't get the amount of sleep that you normally would have, getting up early indeed. But it is good for us to gather. I am sharing with some of my colleagues, those in the Anglican community and others who had services at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock this morning, and they were considering, well, you know, maybe we should just bring a big TV in the sanctuary and do something, because they're competing with a very large distraction, as it were. But here we are, gathered together and called to a community of life and faith around this particular text that reminds us that this body of Christ that we are a part of is not something to be taken for granted. It is something that requires tremendous energy and work and discernment and life, but it is given to us as gift. The number one statement and the number one context under which we understand all of our life and activity is grace. Grace is that generous giving and bestowal of God's deep pleasure, of God's capacity, God's power upon us to do that which we're called to do and to be. And so Paul reminds them that he has learned particular lessons and has received that grace even in untoward circumstances. That is what sometimes may seem very surprising. Paul is calling on the community to one another. Notice over six times one is used in this text. It reminds us of how we are together and to be together. But where is Paul when he's writing this? These astute observations, these ways of discerning God's prompting and leading, Paul is in prison. Now, when we look back over the last century, I think it would be fair for us to say that there have been tremendous insights that have occurred within significant contributors to world history because they were in prison. You go back to Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail after leading civil rights protests and the beating and the dog set upon them and imprisoned in all indignities. It was in that Birmingham jail that he wrote a letter of strong challenge to the Christian community in particular, because they were resisting getting on board and helping indeed to bring around justice both economically and racially. Insights that are profound that to this day are still studied both in classes of English, philosophy, and theology. There was Viktor Frankl in The Search for Meaning, in prison, discerned a particular understanding of what is taking place in the precincts of human mind and what is the purpose that we are to be constrained in our energies and efforts to give our lives to. There was Nelson Mandela, 27 years in prison, discerning an insight of how to regard the indignities and the wrong and the violence done not only to him, but the people in South Africa, and what was going to be done when he came out of that 27 sojourn in the crucial situation within prison. A decision made to actually be formed and challenged and tutored by the words of Christ to forgive your enemies and change the course of a particular nation. Insights that come as gifts once in prison that bless the human community. Paul is speaking deeply into the life of the church in Ephesus, but also to us today, recognizing that we need particular conditions, particular commitments, if we are to be one anothering. That term refers to how we are with each other and how together we are in our service of Christ. What is Paul saying? Paul recognizes that all of it is built on the grace that comes from God and the commitment that is engendered in each one of us playing our part, but recognizes that there are leaders necessary to do that. There's a very interesting term that is used. When listing the particular offices, the apostles and the prophets and so forth, he says, why have they been gifted with this grace? What is the purpose of that? And then Paul goes on to say, and use a word very intentionally that I think could break open for us something about how we understand ourselves and our community. They are so imbued, so blessed with this grace in order to equip the body. Now that word equip is very significant. In the Greek, it is referring to the same corpus of words, same group of words that have to do with mending and healing. When Jesus came and looked upon his disciples and found them mending their nets, that's the same word that is used. So here the grace is imbued upon the disciples, upon the prophets and the teachers, upon each one. For what purpose? To recognize that there is within the community various stages of injury. In order for us to be true community, we cannot ignore that we have been injured in the midst of trying to make community. Not only that, but we come to that community building, that faith growth, from injuries that we have endured in our childhood or other ways. And so the purpose of soul blessing with grace, with capacities and gifting, for the community to be built up is to pay attention to the ways in which we have been contorted, we have been abused, we have been hurt, we have been put down, those things, because that mending and healing is required, is prerequisite for the healthy, vibrant, faithful community of faith that is necessary to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a very interesting little nuance, but I think it makes so much sense. Paul had the deep insight, blessed by, I believe, the inspiration of the Spirit, to discern that the community, and remember, he's speaking to a community then whose major issue was how are Jew and Gentile, who used to be very much opposed and separate, going to live together and work together and believe together and serve together and faith together. They had to overcome tremendous, perhaps, insults or injuries, not only in their personal lives, but in their relations with each other. We know that we come to the life of faith, and we come to worship, and we come to those things that we are meant to be about with all kinds of things in our hearts, all kinds of words and experiences that have caused us to be separated from ourselves and others. So the work of healing, of paying attention, of listening, of gentle one anothering, of counseling, of praying and surrounding and encouraging people is one of the ways that we are then able to deploy our gifts, to recognize that as beloved gift of God, beloved children of God, we can one another each other. Why? So that we may grow in faith, grow in the maturity of the Christian faith, and that we may each play our part. So for us to be a community here at Parkdale, and we will be looking at some of the ways we express ourselves in ministry at our annual general meeting, for us to be able to do that, we recognize in each other the capacity and the grace necessary to bring healing into our hearts, healing into our community, into our relationships, healing and blessing, the kind of mending that makes a commitment to grow together not only essential, but also celebrated. We can delight in our ability to one another. Blessings incur. Blessings will be lived through us as we grow in faith. And Paul makes the point that it is not sufficient for us to be healed, but to learn the faith, practice the faith, and bear witness to the faith in ways that bring glory to God and honor to God's reputation. And so, we are equipped by grace to bring healing, to bring joy, and to bring service. Each one of us, inestimably loved and delighted in by God, called to play our part. We are called and gifted with a calling. Let us one another with joy and celebration. Deep insights come from the crucible of tragedy we have seen, even in this letter, and borne out in the lives of others. Deep insights, deep, profound flourishing can come from the crucible of our own experiences of healing through the difficulties that we have endured. And as a community, make haste in demonstrating to the world that we are a body of Christ, willing to love, to serve, and to proclaim. Could there be any greater news than what grace from God can accomplish in and through this community of Parkdale United Church? Thanks be to God. Amen.